These scripture passages that we've just heard tell us a lot about what it means to be both a community and an individual of faith, and we will look at them in just a minute. But, you know, Pastor usually likes to start his sermons with a question. And so I thought I'd borrow a page from his pastoral playbook and ask you a question this morning. It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer. But I'd like you to reflect a little bit about it. And my question is, why are you here? What brought you to this church? I know there'll be a variety of answers. Some of you come from families that have been here for generations. Some of you are new. Maybe you heard pastor's sermons and really appreciated them. Maybe you came and you found us to be a friendly and welcoming congregation. There are many, many reasons. And I'd like to share my reasons with you this morning. I first came here in the spring of 1994. My mom had just passed away. And dear Jeannie Miller, who is a friend of my mom's and my family for many years, suggested I talk to Reverend Gary Betts about conducting the funeral. So I did. And afterward, I found myself thinking, this guy seems like what I thought a pastor should be. Sincere, compassionate, has a listening ear. And so 2 weeks after the funeral, actually it was on Easter Sunday, 1994, I came to worship, and as you could see, I never left. What you may not know is that prior to that day, I did not attend church for over 30 years. Sure, I went to a wedding or a funeral, maybe one or two Christmas Eve services. Now, as a child, I'd attended Methodist Church in Glendale in Queens. I'd been baptized there. My grandma, Minnie, was the Sunday school superintendent, so she made sure my younger sister and I went fairly often. And I remember she took me to meetings of the Ladies' Aid Society and the WSCS, which was the Women's Society of Christian Service, the forerunner of United Methodist Women. So I had a foundation in Methodism and a sense of belonging to something greater than just the family and friends in the immediate neighborhood. Even after we moved out to this area, I did sometimes go to Bellport Methodist and participate in their MYF. But after I went away to college that first time, it all fell away. And I'm not sure exactly why. It's hard to pinpoint specific reasons, maybe skepticism, maybe too busyism, maybe a sense that I had at the time that reason and faith were somehow in opposition to each other. Yet through all the years that followed, I always felt a yearning, a longing to know and understand God better, and really to be a part of a community of people that felt the same way. When I think about that, I'm always reminded of the opening lines from Psalm 42, which reads, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And that's how I felt. And then what I found, beginning on that day in 1994, was such a community as I'd thought about and longed for. Now, there were no halos that I could see, and nobody walked around with an aura of holiness. These were regular people who had a sincere thirst to connect with the divine and follow more closely the path and teachings of Jesus Christ. They were, and you are, loving, caring, good, and decent human beings. You know, human beings have always been meant to live in community, beginning with the earliest forms of our species, first family groups, then larger kinship groups, and so on and so on. We are all part of many connecting circles, family, friendships, workplace, and so on, that provide support and a sense of connection with us, for us. But a community of faith, which I found here and still find, transcends time and place and circumstance and links together all the other communal parts of our lives. Because when we seek to love God through Jesus with our heart, mind, spirit, and strength, we are transformed by our faith, and we manifest it through our every behavior and action. We are kinder, more compassionate. We extend the hand of friendship more freely, and we care for each other and all others, even when it's inconvenient. So in effect, we take our faith community with us in our hearts and minds wherever we go. Now, this brings me to the scripture that Joan read from the letter of James, brother of Jesus. James is very clear that being faithful followers of Jesus is about so much more than following ritual, observing rituals, or following doctrines, or saying, "I believe." There's a disconnect if our actions don't derive from our faith, or our faith doesn't manifest itself in our actions. James said, "Faith without works is dead." Now, Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther in the 16th century, misunderstood that. He thought that contradicted the doctrine that we are saved by faith alone, but I don't believe so. I think it links them inextricably. I always like the example that James gave when he has a, responsible member of the community, faith community, encounters a naked and hungry human being. And basically, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, he kind of pats the person on the back and says, "Go in peace, and I'll pray for you." But he ignores the obvious needs and suffering of the other individual. And James said, "Faith without works is dead." So if we don't connect those two things, if we don't connect the faith, the inner piety, with outer piety, with helping everyone who needs our help, everyone we interact with, it's an empty faith. And I'd also like to focus for a minute on the scripture that Ed read from 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Paul explains that like all the amazing parts of the human body that work together so that we see, walk, talk, think, breathe, live. Just think about that. I was trying to think of all the parts. I can't even name all the parts and how they work together, but it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And Paul said, just like the human body, all the parts work together, so it is with the body of Christ. Each fulfilling a function that enables the body of Christ to be alive in the world. Everyone here, even lovely little Grace, has gifts or talents or abilities that can be used for good to strengthen the body of Christ. Little Grace already has her God-given talents embedded in her DNA and her lovely self. Some have the gift of music, unfortunately that's not me, sadly, of teaching, of listening, of healing, of leading. As Paul said, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So everyone is of value and importance. Everyone has a God-given ability that enhances all life. You know, in the 26 years I've been a member, this church has been through ups and downs. At times we've thrived, at other times we've barely been held together with scotch tape. But the bond of love and faith has sustained us. Right now, all of us, within and without the congregation, are struggling to deal with so many challenges. The world is nutty. We have so much conflict and anger and misery in our own country. We're dealing with this terrible pandemic. It's very different. We have a lot of challenges. Our life is, sometimes the patterns have been fragmented. The pandemic in particular has caused us to pause and then reconfigure how we carry out our missions and ministries. For example, our food pantry, which begins again on Tuesday, is very different in format than it has been. And some things we miss not being able to do, to interact on a more personal level with our folks that come to us. But that's okay, because we'll do it. Together, we can overcome challenges through allowing the Spirit to lead us and by loving one another with generous hearts. And I'd like to conclude with this quote from another of Paul's letters, this one to the Galatians. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for the family of faith. Would you pray with me for a moment? Loving God, let your words enter our hearts. Let your vision guide us. Let your love be reflected through us wherever we go. And in spite of all difficult circumstances, guide us. Let us know that you are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.